And I'm Charlie. I'm original from Mexico, so I'm going to show you how we have been working with our colleagues in Mexico on building capacity for tobacco control using this local network in Mexico. Okay, I have no financial relationships to disclose, so the National Institute of Public Health in Mexico is one of the leading institutions in tobacco control and research. And we have been working with them through a Fogarty International Center grant on, we had started a tobacco control summer course in 2000. We have had training sessions on doing research also for secondhand exposure in public places as well as homes, and research coming from the Institute, the INSP in Mexico, have come to Johns Hopkins to our Biostats and Epidemiology Summer Institutes to get more courses, and there has been support for expert testimony as well as funding. So the National Council Against Addictions in Mexico is our, at the federal level, is the institution that studies addictions from tobacco, alcohol, and other drugs. Each of the states have a local office that is called like a SECA that, that are coordinated by CONADIC, and the INSP has been collaborating with them through trainings and collecting the data for the Global Youth Tobacco Survey since 2003. So during the Perspective for Tobacco Control summer course in the last 8 years, we have had people from the SECAS as well as other tobacco control advocates and members of Mexico and the international community, like Spanish speakers from Central America. So the goal of our project was in relating it to the FCTC articles on building capacity in tracking and surveillance for tobacco control measure, and this is specifically on point of purchase advertisement and outdoor advertising, having knowing the access of minors to tobacco products, product labeling and product disclosure, sales of single cigarettes and the cigarette price, and also to strengthen our collaboration with and provide evidence of the tobacco control advocates at the local level for dissemination. We did like observational study, sort of what Valeska mentioned before, kind of an environmental scan of using standardized protocol in 2006. The INSP conducted a pilot study in two cities, in Culiacan, which happened to be my city, and Cuernavaca. So there were small grants given in 2007 to 12 states in the SECAS. Actually, there were 11 grants, and one state wanted to participate, just providing their own funding. So for data collection analysis, and we were able to have the systematic data collection at point of purchase and outdoor advertisement in a radius of 500 meters around surrounding schools. 500 was because the law in Mexico prohibits 200 meters to have billboards advertising around schools. So we wanted to see also what was the density of the tobacco point of purchases and if there were some non-compliance advertisement around the school. So an online database was created for data entry management and analysis. So the schools that were included were part of the GYTS surveys in 2006, the majority in six, and some in 2005, which basically they are located throughout the country. I'll show you in the next slide, so more detail on this. But so the GYTS is a two-stage cluster sample that give us a representative sample of students aged 12 and 15 year old. And to give you some background on the prevalence in the last 30 days of smoking status, the highest prevalence in the 2005-2006 GYTS survey were found in these cities that it's They're all like central Mexico cities, and some lower prevalence were found in border cities like Ciudad Juarez. Tapachula is a border city in the south. Chetumal is closer to Cancun. We have Nuevo Laredo and Tijuana that are also northern border cities. So in 2007, we had the field workers at the Institute as part of our summer institute, and also they were trained on the data collection. And we collected data on the point of purchase on for stores and street vendors and outdoor advertisement. We have just the big billboards, but I haven't seen it in another country yet, but in Mexico, we have these multi-part billboards that they're put in privacy walls, like from homes they will rent it for advertisement, and they kind of try to tell you the like, different story, like throughout, like you can go around or the three-year time, and oh, did you find the flavor already or something? So we also look into the ability and cost of the single cigarettes and the cigarette packs labeling and health warning. And today I'm going to show you preliminary data at the point of purchase and advertisement, as well as single cigarettes. So in order to avoid data entry collection, or minimize it actually, so we had the forms and got the online database to be as similar as possible, and it will have checkpoints to range. And the INSP, when they did the pilot study, they also wanted to include a geographical information system component, where they already have national maps and maps at the street level for Mexico and their ongoing projects. So they were able to see, in this case, having the different, this is a preschool, having the different schools located. And for example, in the pilot study, they found like a tobacco billboard here. So we thought, okay, let's go ahead and try this as a more surveillance system. So for each of the field workers for their schools that were the same 20 to 25 schools from GYTS for their city, they got a map generated for each of the schools, and they will pinpoint where the point of purchase and street vendors were found, and any billboard. So this is an example how in a school from Mexico City, how was the around the 100, 200, 500 meters around the school where the point of purchase, all the stores and street vendors were. So within a store, we look into advertisement at the exterior and interior, as well as any promotion, functional objects like a clock with branding, and any industrial shelving and price of tobacco items. In Mexico, they have, close to the cashiers, they have these shelvings where they have the advertisement, and also they have the cigarettes to sell. And as you can see here, we have it more as an advertisement, not like functioning because it's too high, but all of these products, you may not know, but these are like candies. All of these products are candies, different brands, and cookies for Mexico. So they just have them right there with next to the candies for the children. So we had 248 schools that were assessed, and more than 2,000 stores visited. So that gave us an average of 8 stores around each of the schools. And we found that it was a low proportion of advertisement that was visible from outside, from the schools, and overall just 20% of those having an indoor advertisement. However, those who had an indoor advertisement, they had like an average of 6 materials of publicity. And We got an assessment on saying if it was limited, moderate, or high advertisement in the store, and that concords with the having a small number of materials. So the majority of them had limited advertisement. What we found is mostly like they did have like about three stores of 37%. They had the industry shelving mostly like provided like this advertisement with putting the cigarettes from the tobacco industry, and they're all mostly close to the register, so it's about the same. And found that half of the stores will sell single cigarettes overall, and they only have less than 30%, 37% of them had a signage of saying we don't sell to minors. On the street vendors, here you can see in Mexico, the street vendors can also have like a little car, so they just come to the schools at the time of the kids are going out of school, and they just like park in front of the school, or they can set up like just like a table, as you can see here. And here you can see that the person is just have these open cigarette packs, not even like him probably won't even sell like a full pack, so they don't, it's more available for the kids to buy. So we found a less number of the schools, so only 35% of the schools had street vendors. Some of the schools that were also surveyed, they're private schools. So private schools, sometimes they will say, no, you're not, you cannot be selling outside my school, you know, they have limits, or even they're maybe in also residential areas, so they just don't let you have it. So we just found 35% of the school with street vendors, so, and but still the ones who had it, they had like an average of five street vendors per schools, and mostly 40% of them visible from them. As I said, they usually just like are outside of the entrance. And 60% of them sold single cigarettes. A good news was that we didn't find any billboards around the schools in any of the 12 cities in Mexico. So that was good news. Some bad news is that and this is prices to the US in June, so today it's cheaper. There was like a 30% depreciation of the peso. So so at that time it was like five sticks per a dollar. So it's pretty cheap so for the students to buy. And it was about a little higher for the street vendors on the price. So in Baltimore, we had a study that on single cigarettes, and they're about three sticks per dollar. So just to give you some context. For reporting on the, one of the goals and one of the next steps is having the online surveillance system. So people can go and introduce the school ID, or so you can find the locations on the maps of the school, and it will give you the areas where the schools are and how some of the overlappings. And we were thinking a lot about the, oops, sorry, the billboards. That was because in the pilot study, there were more found in Cuernavaca. And then how it can be just, it can show on having the street vendors or the stores around the schools and in different like areas of surveillance. So in summary, we found that each participant school had at least like about 13 points of sales, either stores or street vendor. A lot of number overall of the advertisements from the store, but single cigarettes was quite available in a cheaper price, so it's accessible for the adolescents. We learned that we can develop and implement multi-sites protocols. It can be sort of low resource on the data collection. However, we still need to evaluate the online tool because that can be have more administrative costs. And that we needed to work with several actors at the state level and the federal level in order to have an all involved. And this data can be useful for tracking tobacco control at the local level and also for FCT implementation. And some of the important things of having data at the local level is that the people can take it to their policymakers and say, this is the data from our city. This is what our students are being exposed to, or, you know, so it may have more impact of having what is people in Baltimore or in other countries' data. So there's a need for quick dissemination of the results to make it more as an online surveillance and a rapid response mechanism, and they use the evidence to strengthen at the tobacco controls at the local level. So the next steps, we would like to have more dissemination of these results at the local level, have more impact. We would like to analyze it in relationship with the GYTS prevalence on the density specifically. And I would like to have it more expanded and get it integrated into their surveillance system for the different cities and states and maybe regionally, and have it an online national surveillance system, and have it more input from the Ministry of Health, and which it's CONADIC, and the second depend on the Ministry of Health, but to have it something more as a tool that they people all the time put in the data, or in COFEPRIS is a regulatory agency in Mexico, so they, if compliance of selling single cigarettes or like billboards, they can go and have an agent or person put a fine or something, and having the advocates to use this data. So I would like to give a special thanks for the funding for Fogarty and to the staff of the 12 SECAs that they did a hard work and for the enthusiasm. Thank you.
Did you have any challenges? Because that's one of the themes of this session, and everyone looked like you had such good hard workers. Was it hard to recruit them and get them out there?
Well, no, recruitment was not a problem at all. They actually, more people wanted to participate. There are other states that have more funding, so but we wanted to limit it so to see how well we can do it. One of the challenges was safety. Safety, so we always told them to go in pairs, but there have been issues, especially in central Mexico. In the past, there have been, because people were taking photographs and we told them to be very careful because people have killed others in Mexico, in central, because they think, because it's around the schools, that or they want to sell the picture of the kids, or they want to, you know, kidnapping or something. So some, those were some of the issues. However, we, then INSP, they gave them a letter to each of the SECAs and to each of the field workers. It was sent a letter to each of the school's director. So in case there was a problem, some parents reporting, they will say, oh no, it's fine, they're working here. But yeah, so we asked them if someone is following you or something, just run and leave the scene and you can come back, you know, and do it at the early times, like, because we have some in Mexico, I'm not sure in the US, students go in the morning and others, the whole school, even the name of the school is different in the afternoon. So depending on what was the selection already from GYTS, they had to go like in the afternoon. So we asked them to go at the end, at the entrance of the school instead of the exit that could be like 7 p.m. And, you know, safety was like one of the things that we asked them to. And a little bit on the online sometimes because people just have, it's not high speed internet in each of the office, of course. So they will have a little delay or a little more things on getting up the data, bringing up the data.